Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, good morning, and welcome all to another edition of our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Today is February 26, 2022, and we are delighted that you have joined us today for this program. We'll be getting started here in just a minute, but first we need to do a little bit of housekeeping. Our primary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find not only a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, but you'll also find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling. There is one particular one that I like. It's a 7-part series entitled The Grand Plan. And if you ever wondered what the creator of the universe set in motion long ago, and you want to know the outcome of that, that is a great, and how to be involved in that outcome, that is a wonderful piece of writing that you need to go read. We also have a secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and there you're going to find lots and lots of good writing by Rick and the rest of us, some historical data, some biography, and a page called the New Book Page. Back in 2007 when that was put up, that was a new book. And on that page, you will find a sidebar that will give you the story about how the book actually came to be published and how it almost didn't. We also have a Facebook page. It is called Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. You can go there and request membership, and we'll have you join us, and then you'll get some updates each week, and every once in a while you'll get a little bit of extra writing and information if you want to make comments, or if you want to private message us or ask questions, you're welcome to do that as well. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, it seems that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. It appears that a overarching, cruel government is invading a small and innocent city in Kyiv, and trying to subjugate a free people to their will. And Father, we actually know that that is not what is going on. We pray, Father, that you will give us discerning spirits, eyes that see beyond the surface, so that when we look at the things that are going on in this world, we will know that you are the one that is, if not in charge, you know what is happening and how it will end. And I pray, Father, that as we go through the study today, you will be with us in spirit and in truth. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And good morning. Let me get these all potted up here. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Michael Miboyo.
Hey, top of the morning to you. Are you ready to study some of the revelation of Jesus today?
Absolutely. And
fabulous.
Before I get to Rick, I just want to let you know that our apparently the program from yesterday, which was amazing, frankly, did not get posted to our episode archive. I've checked and the download button is not working. It's not available. I do have a text into the Blog Talk Radio Services Department, and I expect to hear from them, and we'll figure out what went on and if that content can be saved. So we are, we pray that today's program will be put up just like it normally always is, and we'll go from there. So good morning, Rick.
Good morning. That was quite a dramatic prayer.
Yeah.
You offered. It is sad that yesterday's program hasn't been put up, because today's program links to that one sequentially. And it's not surprising to me. It seems like the really good, really informative broadcasts that we put up somehow or another get lost, glitched, some kind of technical issue, never seems to fail. Must be trying not to make anything about of it. What I talked about yesterday and what is most important for you to know and understand why is that instead of having faith in God about the future, you have trust in God about the future. And the difference between faith and trust is faith is hope based on nothing but hopeful expectation, and trust is hope based on past performance.
That makes me want to put a comment in here about, I hear some people, Christians, when they don't really know how to explain it all or understand it all, just throw up their hands and say, God wins. What is it that he wins if people don't understand and don't know what's going on? How can he win in that situation?
That's a good question, Larry. I have an answer. God will not win without the people of earth studying to understand what their role in the victory is. Mainly, God must have a kingdom on earth, a kingdom filled with righteous people, and thereby God can go to battle for them to defeat the enemy, which is the ruler of the world who usurped that position through nefarious means. Kind of like a small scale of what happened in the United States in 2020. And we are told in the prophecies, Daniel and Matthew, which is not given by Matthew, it was written down by Matthew, but given by the Son of God himself. We find those in chapter 24 and 25, and then, of course, in Revelation. Daniel Daniel 2 reveals to us through the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and the interpretation that Daniel gave, which Daniel gives complete credit for his being able to do that to his God, who was kind and generous in giving Daniel the information about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he was able to read back to Nebuchadnezzar what he saw in his dream. Where we are in that prophecy right now is at the time when the image is destroyed or being destroyed. The image represents the kingdom of those who not only worship Satan and obey him, but worship lies and conduct their life in accordance with the lies. That whole system is coming down. And the reason that I say that is because that is part of the prophecy that Daniel read back to Nebuchadnezzar, which is found in Daniel 2, starting with verse 44. These kings, that's the kings of the nations of the world that we are in right now, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. This kingdom will not pass into the hands of another race. It will shatter and absorb all the previous kingdoms and itself last forever. Just as you saw the stone untouched by hand break from the mountain and shatter iron, bronze, earthenware, silver, and gold, the great God has shown the king what is to take place. The dream is true. The interpretation exact. What the devil has attempted to do is to discredit Daniel. He has done this through his so-called biblical experts who postulate, who theorize, although they don't recognize it as a theory, they believe that it's fact, that the person known as Daniel never existed, and that the writing of Daniel was done by scribes in Israel, Judah, during the occupation by the Greeks, the Seleucid kings. There's one very powerful proof that Daniel existed, and that the prophecies in Daniel were actually written by Daniel, is that the book of Daniel was contained in the scrolls brought back from Babylon to Jerusalem. And when Alexander the Great was on his conquest of Palestine and moving up to Jerusalem on his way to engage the Persian army and the Persian emperor. The high priest came out of the city, Jerusalem, with the scroll of Daniel. Particularly what in our Bibles is Daniel chapter 8. And he showed Nebuchadnezzar, his second, his commanding general, I don't know which one it was. This account is recorded by Josephus, a Jewish historian, and showed how, and interpreted the prophecy for him, that the he-goat of Daniel 8 represented Greece, and that Alexander the Great was the horn that was between the eyes of the he-goat, and the ram was the kingdoms of Medo and Persia. And that the goat would defeat the ram completely and become a world empire. Alexander the Great was relieved and thankful for this because he didn't know how the battle would turn out. We look back on it now and we go, well, why would he be so concerned? He won, didn't he? Well, he didn't know he was going to win. His armies were going up against a massive army. They were outnumbered, but not outmaneuvered. He said that if the Jerusalem would help them resupply for their journey for the battle and pay their tax to him every year or something to that effect, he would not lay siege to the city. He would move on. Now, he had been laying siege to all the cities coming down the coast there, the Mediterranean, destroying one after another, including Tyre. He had come from, I believe it was Gaza. So he wasn't used to leaving any of the cities unscathed, particularly cities like Jerusalem that were large and had a lot of wealth and so on in them. So if Daniel never existed, and this was all made up by scribes in Jerusalem during the occupation of the Seleucid, how could Josephus be writing about this experience where the high priest showed Alexander the Great the prophecy of the Macedonian kingdom defeating the Persian Empire? God works in mysterious ways, confirm his word. And we can take God at his word. Daniel was a real person. He lived in Babylon during the exile, the captivity. And because of what God allowed him to do, to read back to Nebuchadnezzar his dream and to give the interpretation of it. Daniel was given basically the highest position in the Empire of Babylon, second only to the king, and he was given the highest position in the kingdom of the Medes. And I have been able to explain that Nebuchadnezzar's dream is still being fulfilled as it was given. The head of gold of the image was the Babylonian Empire. The chest and arms of silver were the empire of the Medes and the Persians. The belly and thighs of bronze were the kingdom of Greece. Legs of iron, Rome. The feet that are partly iron and partly baked clay are the days that we are living in right now. We are told that in the days that we are living in right now, there will be a stone that breaks itself away from the mountain, and that this stone is the kingdom that God will set up in the days of those kings, the kings of the feet. And that stone will destroy the kingdom of the world by its very presence. There is further clarification of what goes on leading up to the time of the kings of the feet, although they're not called the kings of the feet in this prophecy. They're represented by great beasts. In Daniel 7, starting with verse 9, I watched, thrones were set in place, and one of great age took his seat. His robe was white as snow, the hair of his head as pure as wool. His throne was a blaze of flames, its wheels were a burning fire. A stream of fire poured out, issuing from his presence. 1,000,000 waited on him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was set, and the books were opened. So court was in session, and the books were open. Now, it would be good to know what these books contain. I would suggest that these books contain evidence. The evidence that is used to support the charges that are being brought in court. Daniel goes on to say, verses 11 and 12, the great things the horn was saying were still ringing in my ears. And as I watched, the beast was killed. So the horn is the one with eyes and a mouth, and the beast that was killed is the Roman Empire. that great and terrible beast. The beast was killed and its body destroyed and committed to the flames. Now, as I understand it, what happened here and what this is talking about is that the horn with eyes and a mouth supplanted the Roman Empire. Didn't destroy it, just supplanted it. So what we have is we have pagan Rome, and pagan Rome was changed into papal Rome, where the papacy Christianized pagan icons, pagan holy days, pagan worship. So the beast that was pagan Rome was destroyed and thrown into blazing fire. The other beasts, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, were deprived of their power but received a lease of life for a season and a time. I gazed into the visions of the night, and I saw coming on the clouds of heaven one like a son of man. He came to the one of great age and was led into his presence. On him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. And men of all peoples, nations, and languages became his servants. That word became is very important. How do you become a servant of the Son of God? Obviously, you don't start out as a servant of the Son of God. His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty which shall never pass away, nor will his empire or his kingdom ever be destroyed. I, Daniel, was deeply disturbed, and the visions that passed through my head alarmed me. So I approached one of those who were standing by and asked him to tell me the truth about all of this. And in reply, he revealed to me what these things meant. Four great beasts are four kings or kingdoms who will rise from the earth. Those who are granted sovereignty. Did you get that? Mm-hmm. Those who are granted sovereignty are the saints of the Most High, and the kingdom will be theirs forever, forever, and ever. Just want to pause and let this kind of unravel itself so that we can understand it. This was what Daniel saw in a nutshell, that the four great beasts are four kings or kingdoms who rose from the earth. Then on him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. Now, it says here, those who are granted sovereignty are the saints of the Most High. So, those who are granted sovereignty are saints, holy people of the Most High. the sovereignty would be in the kingdom. And the Son of Man would be their brother. Now, for them to be related as brothers and sisters to the king, they would have to be born of the same mother that he was. Now, we know that that is not Mary, because Mary did not give birth to the righteous. She gave birth to the Son of God, who was righteous when he was conceived. He was righteous before he was conceived. So it would have to be from Revelation 12, the woman who's standing on the moon, crown of 12 stars on her head, clothed with the light of the sun. She gave birth. And her firstborn was caught up to heaven and to God and sat beside God on his throne. He is the Son of God. And then that same woman gives birth, the last of her offspring are what they are called. And they have two very clear, distinct qualities that are because of their birth.
They are, those qualities are the identifiers that show that they have been born of this woman.
They keep the commandments of God and hold to of the Son of God.
As identifiers, could we call them birthmarks?
Yeah.
That's very good. They're birthmarks.
The woman is the Holy Spirit. Just as the Son of God told Nicodemus, except one is born of the water and the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. They cannot enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the same mother the Son of God was born of, and she is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not give birth to sin or sinners. And anyone who believes in, practices, or worships a lie, to sing sin, because lying and lies are sin. They originate from the originator of sin, the father of lies, the devil. Verse 19. Then I asked to know the truth about the fourth beast, different from all the rest, very terrifying, with iron teeth and bronze claws, eating, crushing, and trampling underfoot what remained. And the truth about the 10 horns on its head, and why the other horn sprouted when the 3 original horns fell, and why this horn had eyes and a mouth that was full of boasts, and why it made a greater show than the other horns. This was the horn I had watched making war on the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of the one of great age who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High when the time came. When the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom. Now, when the, I believe that what is being described here is the horn with eyes and a mouth speaking boasts is the time with starting with the appearance of papal Rome. And papal Rome was operating on the direct orders of Satan. And Satan has always been working to keep God from establishing a kingdom here on earth. For around 1500 years, he worked with the children of Israel to have them become his kingdom, but they refused to the point that he had to take that, the kingdom away from them and offer it to anyone who would meet the requirements to enter. And we are told here in Daniel 7 that happens. We are also told in Daniel 2 from the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that there will be a stone who will separate itself from a mountain without hands, and that that stone represents the kingdom that God will set up in the days of the kings of the feet, which is the end of days. And that it is because that God has a kingdom that the kingdom of the world can be destroyed. And then we're told that the stone absorbs those from the kingdom of the world into itself, and it grows into a huge mountain which fills the whole earth. There is no other kingdom on earth at that time but the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the world, has been completely and utterly defeated. And the dust of that destruction will be blown away in the wind. So it's no wonder that papal Rome was waging war on the saints. Now, this war, yes, there was persecution of many people who chose to remain true to God and not to the church. That is what is described in Revelation 12, where the woman flees into the wilderness. Were you ready to say something?
Not to put a too fine a point on it, but yesterday's program defines how that is happening today. That is what is going on in the world today. The kingdom of the world is in the process of being defeated by the kingdom of God.
Because right. God has a kingdom on earth today. That's so.
And you made the point yesterday. that it isn't that God couldn't do this all by himself, but he is not doing it all by himself. He needs a kingdom to accomplish the things of the kingdom, to show the kingdom, to defeat that kingdom of the world. And we're seeing war. We're seeing a war, a physical war right now.
That to destroy what?
To destroy the kingdom of the world.
That's what's happening.
It brings to mind the concept of a gold-backed currency.
The kingdom, there you go, thinking about money.
Kingdom comes into existence and creates a gold-backed situation.
Well, Larry, to that point, what is fiat currency?
It is a monetary system that is based in faith, not
it's
in
also,
reality.
It's also based on lies.
That's right.
It's currency that is based on lies, that it has value when it
has none.
Has no value.
In fact, it is not even worth the paper it is printed on.
It is an IOU nothing. You go to work and you get paid with
nothing.
IOU nothing.
Right. And then you take that to a store and you give it to a proprietor in exchange for a physical item, but the exchange value is nothing.
And it's all based on the faith and confidence of those who are using it. The horn I had watched making war on the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of the one of great age, who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. When the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom. So when does the judgment against the horn with eyes and a mouth take place? When is that? I mean, when does he declare that the horn with eyes and a mouth is guilty of all the crimes brought for it? When is that case closed and judgment dealt? When the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom.
So in order for that to happen, there has to be a kingdom of saints. Do we see that today?
Let's start with verse 24. As for the 10 horns, from this kingdom will rise 10 kings and another after them. This one will be different from the previous ones and will bring down 3 kings. This is the one with eyes and a mouth. He's going to speak words against the Most High and harass the saints of the Most High. He will consider changing seasons and law, and the saints will be put into his power for a time, 2 times, and half a time, but the court will sit. So the time, 2 times, and half a time comes before the court sits.
And you had an interesting take on that a few weeks ago. The time, time, and half a time.
Mm-hmm. But the court will be held, and his power will be stripped from him, consumed, and utterly destroyed. We're talking about papal Rome. Has that?
Yep.
And it has just happened in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like four or five years at the most, last. And it has happened. I want you to understand that. It has happened, and it the cleanup of it is still going on.
And what has been found in the basement of the Vatican has been astounding.
Yeah, you don't even want to talk about it.
Nope.
And sovereignty and kingship and the splendors of all the kingdoms under heaven. I want to read that one more time. This is verse 27 of Daniel 7. The sovereignty and kingship and the splendors of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Yes. His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty, and every empire will serve and obey him. Now turn to Daniel, turn to Revelation chapter 10. We're going to read the last part of that. And let's start with verse 8. So we'll be reading 8 through 11. Then I heard a voice I had heard from heaven speaking to me again. Go, it said, and take that open scroll out of the hand of the angel standing on sea and land. I went to the angel and asked him to give me the small scroll. And he said, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will taste as sweet as honey. So I took it out of the angel's hand and swallowed it. It was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you are to prophesy again, this time, about many different nations and countries, languages, and emperors. In Revelation, there are sequences of seven events or seven messages. The seven churches, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. And the seven thunders. Now, the seven assemblies or churches are sequenced unbroken. In other words, the first message to the first assembly, the one in Ephesus, is followed by the second and the third and the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh. Seven seals, which start in chapter 6 of Revelation, go through to the sixth seal. Then in chapter 7, it talks about the four angels holding back the four winds. Why isn't the seventh seal following the sixth seal, like the seventh Laodicea is following the sixth church, Philadelphia? Because the seventh seal is over here in chapter 8. Now, I believe that the translators misunderstood. There was their misunderstanding that caused them to put the seventh seal as the first verse of chapter 8, when it probably should have been the last verse, which would be verse 18 of chapter 7. Now, the trumpets is another sequence of seven that has six sequentially, but the seventh is a part. It has, in fact, the seventh trumpet is separated from the sixth trumpet by none other than the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter of Revelation. Do you think, and this is just a suggestion or an observation, do you think that God might be trying to show us something important? Chapter 11 describes the death and destruction road of the end of days. It starts out with judgment of the kingdom of the heavens and moves to judgment of the world. And it comes up to the death of the two witnesses, and then they're going up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies are watching on. That would occur at the end of the Great Tribulation. And it says that the second of the troubles, that was the second of the troubles, the third is to come quickly after it, and then as the seventh angel blew his trumpet. The seventh angels is in chapter 10. And what I theorize is that the reason that the seventh seal is separate from the sixth, from seals 1 through 6, and the seventh trumpet is separate from trumpets 1 through 6, is that the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet, they operate on either the life road, peace and prosperity road, or the death and destruction road. Two different realities. These two occur as they're given. Because the bowls of wrath are sequential and unbroken. Bowls 1 through 7 are listed in chapter 16 of Revelation. Now, like I said, that is just my thinking. I am not here to say that that is absolute fact, although I do wonder how it would work out a different way. The seventh angel sounding the trumpet is connected to the announcement that God has a kingdom on earth. And that is in verse 15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and voices could be heard shouting in the heavens, calling, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Now that happens in the death and destruction road after the two witnesses are raised back to life and ascend in a cloud into heaven. But it also happens in Daniel 2, where the stone, which represents the kingdom of God that is set up in the days of the kings of the feet, has destroyed the kingdom of the world. And then as it absorbs those who were a part of the kingdom of the world, but not a part of the following and obeying Satan, they weren't servants of Satan, they are absorbed into the stone, which becomes a huge mountain and fills the whole earth. Now, the other sequence of seven that I spoke of was the seven thunders. Now, we don't know if that's an unbroken sequence, although it would appear to be. And I wouldn't even guess or venture to say what that message is, other than it would not be a message of death and destruction. So here we are in the end of days, in the end of days. And these are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. We encourage you to join us a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. And a week from yesterday, next Friday, for another edition of the Bible on Trial. We wish you a happy Sabbath, and we'll see you all next time. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.